I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Our scripture reading this morning will be verses 18 through 21. And we are continuing our series called United. And we're exploring what it means to be united in God. United as Christians. United as a family. United in the church and united for the future. Today, we focus on what it means to be united as Christians. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, it says, "All these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation." In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sin against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. And God is negotiating with you through us. And we beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, help us to hear your voice speaking to us this morning. May your spirit speak to our spirit, and may your words of grace become our words of life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So Paul is writing these letters back and forth to the church in Corinth, a church which he started. And Corinth was a port city in Greece. It was a major stopping point for merchants and traders and travelers. And today, if you go there, it's still a pretty major city, but there is a massive canal that goes through it. And there's a bridge over this canal that you can walk across and watch the cruise ships just barely squeeze through. It's a beautiful sight. But 2,000 years ago, this canal did not exist. It was still the narrowest piece of land between Athens and Macedonia and the Peloponnesian Peninsula. I had to practice that. But sailors would often port there in Corinth and unload their cargo and have their cargo transported across this land bridge so that it could be reloaded on another ship. So that way they could continue their sailing, their travels to the rest of Europe or to Asia. Corinth was also a melting pot of cultures. It was home to hundreds of temples and idols and religions, including Greek and Roman and other pagan deities, as well as Jews and Christians. But the Christian community was growing rapidly. They were proclaiming Jesus, the God who became flesh, who was killed and crucified by the empire, and then rose from the dead. And they were enthusiastically sharing about the resurrected Jesus. But one of the challenges of having so many cultures and religious expressions come together in a new way is that they all bring their own experience. They were accustomed to worshiping their own gods in their own various ways, but now they're worshiping Jesus. Now they're worshiping the living God. However, they didn't all always agree, and they didn't always get along. And some of the people were arguing. They were arguing about laws and lawsuits, about gods and food and what to wear and how to behave, especially how would you behave in worship or even outside of worship. And they were arguing about everything, and there was so much arguing that the major things, people began to take sides, and it began to divide the church, to divide the community. And Paul writes to them, and he's saying, yes, your experience is valid, and your opinion is important, yet there is something more important than our wisdom. That our way of thinking, our way of wanting things, cannot be compared to what God wants. And God wants us. God wants us to live for Christ, who died and rose from the dead for our sake. Not just for me, not just for you, not just for you, but for all of us. And if anyone is in Christ, then they are a new creation. We're no longer our old self. We are a new self. We no longer live for ourselves or our own wants and likes and preferences. Instead, we live to serve Christ. And when we're in Christ, we no longer see each other through our human eyes, with our human preferences and our human standards and our human ways. Instead, when we see each other, we see each other through Christ. Paul says, look, we see each other in a new way. In other words, we see each other with the eyes of Christ, and not these eyes, but this eye in our heart. Ernest Best, the late renowned professor of New Testament studies at the University of Glasgow, conveys it like this. He says, Paul, who once hunted Christians, is now a Christian. And as a Christian, Paul sees everyone from a new angle. And in particular, he so sees Christ, that the old way in which he saw people was a human way. Paul uses the phrase in Greek, kata sarka, meaning according to the flesh. In other words, we no longer see according to the flesh. We see a new way, a spiritual way, a godly way, a real way to see things now is through Christ. And that is, when we look at each other, we look at each other through the eyes of Christ. And when we see each other, we see Christ. It's both. And we see through Christ, and we see Christ in each other. In each other, we see a child made in the image of God. In each other, we see the face of God. God has many children. And I mean that you are a child of God. You are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. All humans are made in the image of God. And one day, God told this man and his wife, Abraham and Sarah, that if they would follow God and be God's people, then God would be their God. That they would be the ancestors of many nations. And that their descendants would be more numerous or greater than the sands on the seashore or the stars in the sky. And many years later, Abraham's grandson is going about his business when he gets a message from his little brother. It was a strange message because he hadn't heard from or seen from or talked to his brother in over 20 years. Now, his brother, they were actually twins. And he misses his little brother. You know, they grew up competing for mom and dad's attention. And he was naturally more close to dad because he enjoyed working out and hunting and fishing and managing the livestock. But his little brother was naturally closer to mom. He enjoyed cooking and gardening and taking care of things around the house. But they still had fun together. And while he was always bigger and stronger, his little brother was not to be underestimated because that dude was sneaky. He was crafty. Then one day, somehow his little brother got the favored blessing from dad. And he remembered being angry about that. That was supposed to be his. He was the older brother. And he was so furious, he could just kill him. In fact, he threatened to kill his brother. So his little brother ran away. That broke his parents' heart. And ever since then, he's tried to make mom and dad happy, but nothing really seemed to work. But in all of that hard work, he's done well for himself. He's got his own wife and kids and his own land and livestock. And if his little brother ever came home, then there would be plenty of room for him. There would be plenty of land for them both. So this message that came from his little brother was a surprise. His brother wanted to meet him. In fact, he sent gifts, hundreds of sheep and hundreds of goats and dozens of camels and cattle and even some donkeys. He didn't need these gifts, but man, they sure were very nice. But the message that came with the gifts was that his little brother wants to come back home. And he humbly asks for a kind blessing to return. Well, he would love to have his little brother back home, and mom and dad would be so happy. So he decides to go meet his little brother. He's amenable to reconcile him, but he also knows that his brother's crafty. So just in case this is one of his tricks, he's going to bring an entourage of 100 men with him. And while they're walking down the hill towards the field where they're to rendezvous, he looks across, and from across the valley, him and his little brother's eyes meet. And instantly, his little brother falls down on his knees and puts his face to the ground and his hands out in submission. Suddenly, the big brother Esau is filled with joy and love. And seeing his little brother, he runs to him and he wraps his arm around him and he hugs him and he kisses him, and he's overcome with tears of joy. And humbly looking up, the little brother Jacob gently says, "Seeing your face is like seeing the face of God." Seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. Let that sink in. Because that is the core of what Paul is saying about us. In each other, through the eyes of Christ, we see the face of God. And as a result, we have a ministry of reconciliation. God reconciled himself to us. Therefore, we have a ministry of reconciliation to each other. To our long-lost friends. To our long-lost brothers and sisters. To the people we pass on the street. To the people we stand in line with. To the people who cut in line. To the people who drive too slow or too fast or who cut us off. To the people that rub us the wrong way. To the people we feel cheated us. To the people we know and the people we don't yet know. To the whole world. To A-L-L. All people. Followers of Jesus, every single one of us are to be ambassadors for God. We have a mission of reconciliation. We represent Jesus Christ, and our ministry is to help reconcile the whole world to God. And the reality is that we have been made righteous by God so that we can accomplish our mission. Whatever our past is, whatever our problems, whatever our hang-ups and habits, they're not held against us. And God has said, "I am in you, and you are in me, and I want you to go and see me, my image, in each other, in the other." Don't let their circumstances or their situation or their past, don't let any of that get in the way of how you see them. Don't let anything get in the way of how you love them with my love. Don't let anything get in the way of how you serve me by telling them how much I love them. And this wasn't just for the apostles and the disciples. This wasn't just for the church in Corinth. This wasn't just for the Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox Church. This is also for the Methodists and the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans and the non-denominationals and everyone else. followers of Jesus Christ. It's a ministry of reconciling the world to God by being reconciled to each other as the body of Christ, across denominations, across borders and boundaries, across differences in doctrines, across nations and races and genders. We are children of God. We are the body of Christ. And we are to be reconciled to each other as a family, because we are in this together. For the first 5 years of my life, I thought I was an only child. In fact, for the first 4 and a half or so years, I pretty much was an only child, until one day my mom comes home from the hospital and brings baby sister with her. Huh. But you know what? My little sister Amanda, I thought she was the most precious, cutest little sister in the whole world. But then a few years later, I discovered I also had a big sister. Her name was Crystal, and man, she had a different mother, but as I got to know her, I thought that she was so awesome. She was smart and pretty and just cool to be around and lots of fun. She was a great big sister. And she would visit on weekends on occasional, but it seemed like even though we were having fun, those weekends just went too fast. And then when I was about 13, I discovered I also had a big brother. His name's Mark. Imagine my surprise. Then he moved in with us for about a year, and Mark was cool, but a different kind of cool than Crystal. He was cool in that rebellious sort of way. You know, he smoked and drank and listened to rap, and he had real girlfriends. And he liked to sneak around. And he got caught a lot. I love all my siblings. But because of the tension between their mother and my parents, we were never really able to grow close as we were growing up. We never quite felt cohesive as a family. And little did I know at the time but my mother struggled to be a mother to them. And while I didn't pick up on it, they did. And then to make things worse, their mother would say things about my parents to make them feel like they were less than, like they weren't really a part of our family. And because the adults couldn't find ways of getting along, it made it hard for us to connect. And as siblings, we couldn't reconcile our relationship with each other. And it wasn't until we were in our mid-20s and older, when we started having families of our own, that we found ways to reconnect as adults, as true siblings. But we had to grow up. Over the years now, we've continued to grow closer, to be reconciled, and to grow in the depth and width of our love for each other. And now we treasure our times together. We call each other on a regular basis, and we see each other as often as we can, especially on holidays or major life events. I'm proud of who they've become. I'm proud of the parents and grandparents they've become. I'm proud of the people they are, and then the way they've grown in their own faith, and the way they've raised their children in the faith and the knowledge and the love of God. We're not perfect. We don't always agree. Yet we found a way to reconcile. And in each other, we see the face of God. And this is how the church, the universal church, must be if we're going to live into this ministry of reconciliation. That we must grow up, learn to love, and see God in the other. Thomas Merton, the famous Catholic monastic, said it like this. He says, "We are like waves on the ocean. We're not separate from the ocean. We're not the ocean. And we cannot be waves apart from the ocean. We are a feature of the ocean. We come from the ocean. God is the ocean." This tells me that to separate ourselves from each other is futile. And to separate ourselves from God would be to separate ourselves from life. But that if we are waves on the ocean, then we are expressions of its power. We are expressions of God's power. And God's power is to love. And it's an everlasting, unconditional, reconciling love. That you are in God. And God is in you. And God loves you. And that our ebb and flow is a reconciliation to each other, to all people, and to all life. So may we flow, expressing God's love, being reconciled to one another, and serving and loving one another through Christ. Amen.